Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar, Joe Rex Road, here for the first half of the show today. I had to go to the urgent care to get a tick bite checked out, so we'll get an update from Rex Road on that tomorrow morning on the program. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis to the program from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Sounds like I'm the new co-host of Robbie and Corey pretty soon.
Sounds like it. We're hoping that Rex Rowe's dealing with a slight case of overreaction here heading to the clinic, but you never know. I mean, tick bites, as we've learned today on the show, Corey, a lot of experts on ticks on the text line, they could be quite serious, as we know.
Yeah, I know Chris Mortensen, the late Chris Mortensen, had a serious case of, I think it was Lyme disease when he got bit.
Yep, so we're hoping against that as Rex Road gets that figured out today. So, Corey, I want to start with you on this, and I'm glad our buddy Ian Safar brought this up with me because I almost forgot about it, which is kind of amazing given how much we talked about this on Friday. But what did you make of the Caleb Williams story that came out with Seth Wickersham's book coming out? Caleb Williams' dad basically talking with him about how they tried to almost circumvent the draft process so he wouldn't end up with the Chicago Bears. Ultimately, obviously, he did, and now Ben Johnson's in, so it's not the same coaching staff that he's dealing with this year. But what did you make of all that about Caleb Williams, which I'm sure went over very well in Chicago over the weekend?
You know, a great man once had some of the wisest words ever said, and that is, don't press send. Don't press it. You can think it, you can laugh about it, you can chuckle about it, you can roll it over in your head, you can type it, but don't press send. That was Herm Edwards. And this, you know, we have gotten to a point in our society where people think that it's okay to just say whatever you want because you feel that way. And, you know, you are allowed to do that. But if you don't think there are ramifications for that, you're an idiot. And look, if Caleb Williams comes out and throws 4,000 yards, the Bears win 10 games, no one's going to care.
Right.
But the moment they lose 38-13 to the Packers and he throws four interceptions, people are going to care. Why give people ammunition? Why? It does not make – look, if you moved on from that team and then wanted to bag them, that's fine. But why bag them while you are still there? And by the way, you haven't proved a darn thing.
Right.
I mean, as a parent, and you're a parent now too, so you will get there. But as a parent, I can't even fathom doing that to my child, putting them – in that position. As a parent, your job is to empower your child and put them in the best possible position to succeed. And I can hear it now. Well, I was trying to put my child in the best position to succeed by not going to Chicago. Okay, fine, if that was your plan. But you don't have to tell everybody about it.
That's the amazing part to me. Like, look, there's plenty of pressure on him anyway. I mean, you're talking about a market that is quarterback starved, as you know.
Yep.
You're a number one overall pick. And there's so much pressure that comes along with that anyway. But now this is just like what this does, Corey, is at the first sign of him maybe not playing well or if he has a couple of bad games, like the fans look at this and they say, well, screw this guy. This guy didn't want to be here anyway. Yeah. And now he's not out there playing well. Like it's just a terrible PR look for him.
It reeks of Anakin Skywalker. You were the chosen one.
Nice.
And he's laying there with all his limbs cut off on fire.
Spoiler alert.
Professing his hatred for the people who embraced him. So, Caleb Williams, Chicago's new Darth Vader.
Very nice. I like the way you got that in there. I'm going to ask you our question of the day. So,
okay.
I'm basing this purely off of FanDuel Sportsbook win totals. They've got the Titans at 5.5.
5.5, yeah.
They got Tennessee at 8.5 in college football this year. Vanderbilt's at 4.5. And if you look at their schedule, like they've got you know, it's a heck of an SEC schedule they got. Which team will have the best season relative to expectations in your mind this fall?
Oh, wow. Because I think it's really close. I think all those numbers are pretty spot on. You know, the thing about both Tennessees is we don't know what they're going to get at the quarterback position. And that's what makes it so hard. So Vanderbilt's the only one with quarterback play that we know what's going to be there. The only thing is like, you know, are you going to sneak up on Alabama again? You know, I don't think so. You know, I think I don't know if they play Alabama again, but
they do on the road.
I don't. Yeah, you're not going to sneak up on Alabama again. So it's going to be really difficult. I guess it's my way of saying I guess you're asking me to pick one. I would say the Titans because they have more games to do it with.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they have 17 games.
And I think also with the Titans, you know, one of the wild cards is Cam Ward, right? Like if Cam Ward's great immediately, yeah, like that could really change what your team can be there. Like, you know, you're right. We know what Vanderbilt has in Pavia, and he's a really good player. I still look at Vanderbilt, and I look at their schedule, and it's not just Alabama. Like, they're on the road at Alabama, South Carolina, Tennessee, yeah, Texas. Like, it's good. An unbelievable road schedule that they've got this year.
And they had a lot go right to get
they did.
7 wins last year.
They did. And it's also, like, as good of a job as I think Clark Lee has done to kind of turn this thing around, and the recruiting's going better and all that. All that's great. Like, there's still a difference between their roster and Texas and Alabama, absolutely, right? So, like, I think – that is going to make it difficult for Vanderbilt this year with the games that they've got on the road that way. The Cam Ward part of this is what we don't know, but also I think what gives the Titans probably the most upside in that conversation.
Absolutely. And you saw, you know, you've seen what a franchise quarterback can do in Denver and in Washington, you know, and these young guys can come in and they can make an immediate difference if they are, you know, indeed an upgrade over what they've got. And the other thing we have to remember with the Titans is they still play in the AFC South. You know, you don't know if Anthony Richardson is going to be at the game or under anesthesia for a full frontal tattoo. You know, you've got Jacksonville, so you're praying you're up by 2 points with 2 minutes to go, and Trevor Lawrence has the football and finds a way to lose the game. So, you know, look, you've got four infinitely winnable games there. And, you know, even if you win two of them, you only got to win four more, you know, from that point to get to six. I you know, we've been talking about the win totals a lot at work, and at 5.5, I would take the over for the Titans. At 6.5, I would not take the bet. And certainly at 7.5, I would flock to the under.
Right. So it shows you it's about where it probably needs to be then.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think Tennessee with their – I think Tennessee, with where they're at quarterback, it would be easier to take the under than the over.
I would agree. I would agree with that. So there's also a proposal coming up in the NFL that the NFL owners are going to be voting on this week that the Lions threw out there. And we've talked to you about the general idea of this before, but now that there's about to be a vote on it, your thoughts on the potential reseeding of the NFL playoffs, where they basically just go by record, and if you win your division, you're in the playoffs, so there's your reward, but you're not necessarily guaranteed a home game. What do you make of that?
Yeah, because it was that whole thing with the Vikings.
Right.
You know, and so if you don't win your division, you just get really, really punished. And, you know, what did we say? Seattle at 7-9 host a playoff game?
We did.
Yeah. And I think we've seen the Titans at 9-7, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Or AFC South teams. You know, yeah, I think on first glance, I'm going to support it because I think you need to be rewarded for being good and for winning games. And I don't think you should be punished for who's in your division. And if you can win your division at 9-7, 10-6, your division is that bad, you should be winning more games than that. So I will on first glance go with that. of you know, obviously every division winner gets in, but then stacking the order on record. Don't they reseed after the first round, right?
Right.
Yeah. So this would just be seeding on the first round. Yeah, I think so.
I'm with it.
Like, because you get in, you're in with a bad record if you win. I mean, like, you're 7-9 and you win your division, you're in.
Right. Like, it's not like you don't get in the playoffs. I just, like, the idea that Minnesota won 14 games last year and had to start the playoffs on the road, I think is just dumb. I think that's got to be addressed.
It's an extreme case. It's an extreme case, but it brings up the hypocrisy of it. And, you know, sometimes it takes that, you know, it takes the extreme to bring about change. And so, yeah, and I would, you know, obviously if you're in the AFC South, you're probably voting against that right now. I think, what percentage, does it have to be unanimous or does it have to be like 3/4?
I think it's 3/4. I'll have to double check on that. It does not have to be unanimous, but I think it does have to be 3/4. So I will.
I would think that's going to pass.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how that vote goes and what that – like, I think that one's got a better chance of passing than the tush-push vote at that point. Yeah. So we'll see what happens
75%,
on both.
75%. Yep. So they'll need 24 of 32. Yeah.
24 of 32. Yeah. So there you go. So I think they could get there on that one. Corey, the first time we've had you on since the schedule has come out, which, again, continues to just fascinate me, people's love of the schedule release day in the NFL. But it's out. So you're starting with Denver – and L.A., you know, we could go through the whole schedule. I'm kind of really focused on the start of this thing, the first four for the Titans to see kind of what the start could be. And pretty difficult on paper, right? Like at Denver, the Rams coming into town. There's the Colts who are not difficult. And then at Houston. So you're talking about three playoff teams there to start in your first four games. What do you make of that, and how big a challenge is that going to be for Cam Ward to get acclimated to the NFL?
Well, I mean, the first 2 weeks are a massive challenge. Massive challenge. The NFL absolutely did Cam Ward and the Titans, neither one of them, any favors whatsoever. Because, you know, in Denver, you're going to play the team that led the league in sacks last year with 63 against your new offensive line, which you think is better. It should be better, but will be playing its first game. And you're playing in altitude. And so there's the challenge for the offensive line there, and then there's the challenge for Cam Ward there. So it's a massive challenge week one. And, you know, what do we know about the Rams? They're well coached. I mean, it's just that simple. Yep. They are really well coached. And so that is going to be a very, very difficult game. So I think as a Titans fan, you have to expect to be 0-2 and not freak out about it. You won three games last year, all right? You can't have this expectation that, oh, yeah, we're going to go up to Denver and win because, you know, we added, you know Jimmy Jones. Yay. No, I mean, They were a playoff team last year. You weren't, okay? So, and you're going to their place. So those are going to be two tough games. And I know fans get sick of me saying this, and it's the sportscaster probably in me, but I'm focused more on how the team is playing rather than what the win-loss record is. You know, last year, the way they played certainly reflected the record.
Oh, yeah.
It was tough. It was a tough watch. But if they go both places and compete, you know, if they go to Denver and they compete, and if they come home against the Rams, like, remember Mularkey's second year, you know, it was the year the Rams went to the Super Bowl. They came to town and they beat the Titans, and the Titans, I think, fell to 7-4 that week. But it was a really good football game. And I just remember going, you know, they lost that game, but I don't really care because that was a really good team and they played really well that day. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, if you go to Denver and you lose 27-23 and Cam Ward throws for 280 and three scores, you're probably going to feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I would say
so. I think you just have to have – I think for the next couple years, and I know nobody wants to hear that, you have to have your sights set on development and progression. You know, you'd like to win some games, but you also have to be realistic about who you're playing, where you're playing them, and what exactly happened and why you got beat if you did.
Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8:00 here on the program. Corey, thank you, sir. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
I'm tick-free and available.
That's good. I hope you remain tick-free.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Now, Rexer got to talking about that earlier, and I started like look around on my legs. I'm like, I've got them. I don't have any, do I? I think I'm good.
Do you have a ring? Was there a ring around the bite?
He seems to think that there actually may be a ring around the bite.
Well, then he definitely needs to get checked out. All kidding aside.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Corey, thank you, sir.
Yep. All right. Bye.
Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Get back into our question of the day. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got some tickets to give away. Tickets to Penn and Teller coming up at the Ryman Auditorium on Wednesday, June 11th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to Penn and Teller at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Wednesday, June the 11th. Throwing out our question of the day, which team, relative to expectations, will have the best season? Will it be the Titans, the Vols, or Vanderbilt? The win totals for each team, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook. Titans are at 5.5, so the over-under is at 5.5 for the Titans. For Vanderbilt, it is 4.5, and for the Vols, it's 8.5. So the Vols dropped a full win in the Vegas odds after Nico Iamaliava goes to UCLA. So throwing that out there, based on the expectations for each team, which team will have the best year relative to expectations? Titans, Vols, or Vanderbilt? A lot of votes for the Titans and Vanderbilt so far on the show. Not too many for Tennessee. The Vanderbilt schedule part of this is interesting because, as Corey Curtis brought up in the last segment, Vanderbilt is the one that you feel good about at quarterback. You're hopeful with Cam Ward as the number one overall pick that he's going to step in with the Titans and play really well. You're hopeful that either Jake Merklinger at Tennessee or Joey Aguilar coming in and being the quarterback, the transfer from App State and then UCLA, will come in and give you a good play at the quarterback position. I think you feel good that Diego Pavia is going to give you good quarterback play if you're Vanderbilt. So he's the one guy, based on what he's done to this point, that you feel pretty good about in their situation right now. I brought it up earlier, though, like the schedule for Vanderbilt. I think people see the season Vanderbilt had last year. They end up winning 7 games with a bowl game in there. And you look at their over-under win total, and you're like, 4.5? Like, 4.5 seems pretty low for what they did last year. And then you open up their schedule, and these are the road games for Vanderbilt this year. Just keep this in mind. At Virginia Tech, at South Carolina, at Alabama, at Texas, and at Tennessee. They got 5 road games this year. Those are your 5. At Virginia Tech, at South Carolina, at Alabama, at Texas, at Tennessee. That's a gauntlet on the road. And look, it's college football. Weird things happen. We saw it last year. Like, the likelihood is one of those teams probably won't be as good as we think. And look, you know, Virginia Tech not on the same level as, you know, Texas and Alabama and Tennessee. So I understand that. But it's still a challenging environment, a challenging place to go into. And then you look at some of their home games. Like, you got LSU at home. You got Auburn at home. You've got Kentucky at home. Like, there are definitely some winnable games that Vanderbilt's got on the schedule. But those road games are just an absolute gauntlet that they're going to have to go through. So can you find a way, if you're Vanderbilt, to get back to 6 wins in a bowl game? They would be my pick, Ian.
Yeah.
But I think, as we talked about with Corey in the last segment, the Titans are probably the one that has the most upside in this based on, number one, the amount of games that they play, and number two, the uncertainty of what exactly Cam Ward is going to be at the quarterback position.
No doubt. I do wonder, you know, Missouri, what kind of drop-off do they have?
Yep.
Auburn, are they any better? You know, Kentucky, they didn't have a great year last
Kentucky
year.
Kentucky might be bad.
So, like, you know, those teams aren't necessarily going to be very good. Utah State, Georgia State, I mean, that's 5 right there. So, I don't know. Maybe Vandy could squeeze one out here. Take the over. I could see it. Tennessee's schedule doesn't look overly difficult this year.
The one daunting game for Tennessee is Georgia.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've not had any success with Georgia
recently.
Mississippi
State, I've heard, is terrible this year.
Yep.
UAB, you got ETSU in there. Kentucky's not going to be that good. Arkansas, what are they this year? New Mexico State, you throw them in there. You know, Florida at the end of the season is always kind of weird to see.
But you got Oklahoma at home if you're Tennessee. So
Syracuse, I don't know. Maybe that'll be a fun opening game.
Yeah, it could be. Like Tennessee, their roster is still really good, right? Like they've got a very good roster. Now, do they have an elite roster? No. They're not Georgia, they're not Ohio State, as we discovered in the playoff game, right? Like their roster's not that. But I mean, frankly, the quarterback play that they got last year is not that difficult to replicate, right? Like Nico was good.
Underwhelming.
He was not what they expected or hoped that he would be. So could you replicate that this year? I just have more questions about what's around the quarterback this year. Like, is the offensive line going to be any good at all?
Yeah, they did have some weird people transfer out. Well, I shouldn't say weird, but maybe unexpected transfers this year.
Like Dylan Sampson, a great player for them last year. And look, Josh Heupel's offensive teams have been able to run the ball really regardless of who the running back has been. So maybe that's just what it is. Like maybe it's as simple as,
the scheme, yeah.
The scheme, and it doesn't matter who they put back there. They're going to run for 2,000 yards, right? Yeah. Like, it could just be that. So maybe that's what it is for Tennessee this year. But, like, I look at receiver. Mike Matthews could be really good, but he's not done it yet at college. Like, there's a lot of unproven on Tennessee's offense. So, like, if everything goes well, like, Tennessee, I said it, they don't have a daunting game on their schedule except Georgia. Now, they got some tough ones. Like, Oklahoma could be tough. At Florida at the end of the year could be tough. There's always some team on here that you maybe don't expect to be good that gives you a game. I mean, look, they lost to Arkansas last year on the road, so who's to say Arkansas couldn't march into Neyland Stadium and beat them again this year? But I do think, they're at 8.5. So if they exceed their expectations, you're talking about a team that is probably in the college football playoff conversation, which at this moment, it's hard for me to expect Tennessee.
That seems a little bit far-fetched at this point. But, hey, maybe they'll the Heupel scheme will roll on, and it won't matter.
So we'll throw it out there to you. Who of these teams, the local teams in the fall, will have the best season relative to expectations? The Titans, the Vols, or Vanderbilt? Your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz, is always about great service. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar. Rex Road, left halfway through the show today. He'll be back tomorrow. Get an update on his battle against the ticks out there.
That's right.
In all seriousness, we do wish Rex Road well. Hopefully nothing too serious going on with the ticks, but he seemed to be excited to get to the urgent care, so we're glad he got there.
Mm-hmm.
Taking your thoughts on the question of the day, 615-737-1025. Which team will have the best season relative to expectations? The Titans, the Vols, or Vandy? Mark from Ashland City says, hammer the Tennessee under. It's crazy to be at 8.5 wins. Also, Florida is going to whoop Tennessee this year. Lagway is different. I'm interested to see Lagway at quarterback for Florida this year, what that's going to look like. It's weird. I know this is the way it's going to start going now, and it's kind of all over the place with the schedule. But Tennessee and Florida playing November 22nd at the Swamp is
second
very
to last
weird to me.
Season? Yeah. Game of the season, huh?
And it got pushed back last year. Like, obviously, normally it's been kind of the SEC opener for both teams. Last year they played, I think, in mid-October. And now you're talking about a game in the Swamp at November the 22nd, second to last game of the year.
Maybe it won't be so hot.
Shouldn't be that hot.
Yeah.
Tennessee has not won in the Swamp since, I believe, 03. I think 03 is the last time they won in the Swamp. So it has been a minute since they've gone down to Florida and won. And, Billy Napier survived last year. A lot of people didn't think he would. And Lagway looked pretty good.
Yeah, they were better, I think, than most people thought. Or at least they ended up better than people thought.
So the expectation for them this year is going to be a little higher heading into the year. And we'll see what that game, where those two teams are by the time November 22nd rolls around. But Mark from Madison City saying to hammer the under on the 8.5 wins for Tennessee. John in Nashville says, I vote Vandy, returning quarterback, good portal pickups, solid returning folks, and Vandy expectations is always just to make it to a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Nick from Franklin says, Tennessee is not beating Alabama either this year. That's a pretty daunting one. Rex Road brought this up earlier. I would agree from the standpoint of, I'm not sitting here today on May 19th saying that Tennessee is going to go to Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama, particularly with their quarterback situation. I got a lot of questions about Alabama this year, too. Like, who's playing quarterback for them?
Yeah, are they to go? Milrow's gone.
What are they going to use? Kalen DeBoer, is he the right fit for that place? I think it's fair to say Kalen DeBoer probably not going to be Nick Saban, right? I think we know that heading in this. But, is Kalen DeBoer the coach that is going to have them competing for national championships every year. I don't know. Like, there's still some things that he's going to have to prove as head coach of Alabama before I'm willing to go there. So I agree. Like, I wouldn't pick Tennessee to beat Alabama today. Like, I do think there's a difference between Tennessee and Alabama right now, and Tennessee and Georgia, with Georgia coming in week three here. Like, that one might get a little rough for Tennessee.
Yeah, that could be tough. Yeah, YouTube's mad at us thinking that we're underrating Nico from last year, it appears.
It was good. I mean, like, would I feel better about Tennessee if they had Nico at quarterback right now based on the other two that they've got in the, or the other three they've got in the room right now? Yeah, I would. Like, you know, say what you will about Nico. Like, Nico's upside I still think is pretty high. I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good player and eventually maybe a good starting NFL quarterback at some point. We'll see. He's got a long way to go to get there. Like, you can see the tools, but part of, and I've said this before, like, I did not think Tennessee was a college football playoff team with him heading into this year unless he elevated a lot significantly from last year. And maybe he would have. We're not going to find out at this point. But based on everything else around him and some questions on the offensive side of the ball, like, I think it was going to require Nico to play really, really well. Can Joey Aguilar do that? Can Jake Merklinger, if it plays out the way Rex Rowe thinks, and he ends up winning the starting job, can he do that? I don't know. Like, I have more doubts about those guys. Like, Joey Aguilar at least has played, like, we've seen him, but he's played at App State, and there's a difference between being the quarterback at App State and being the quarterback at Tennessee.
Moving to the power.
He turned the ball over a lot last year. How much of that was what was around him? We're going to find out. But, like, Tennessee, like, honestly, like, if you're a Tennessee fan, I'm not saying you sign up for this right now because you always want to get yourself in the college football playoff. But, like, frankly, if Tennessee went 9-3 this year with the schedule and with the turnover at quarterback the way it happened, like, it's a pretty good year for Heupel if they go 9-3 this year.
I mean, 9 wins any year is pretty solid. Yeah. I know the expectations are with the expanded playoff. You want to make the playoff every year. But I don't know how realistic that is right now, given the parity of the SEC and some of the other stuff, unless, of course, they expand the playoff again.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, 9 wins any year is going to be hard to complain about, I would think, personally.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, if they got there, I think it would be a pretty good job by Josh Heupel this year with this team. Like, the Titans are the one that I think their win total is about right. Like, going through their schedule the other day, and we did it, you know, off the cuff, first glance, and I think I had them winning 6, and Rex Rode had them winning 5. And they're over-unders at 5.5. So, like, it's about right, I think, based on where they are with their roster. You do have 17 games, and you've got an opportunity. Like, if Cam Ward is good, maybe you do get to 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Or you get closer to maybe the higher side of that. Like, the Titans are the one that, like, I look at their roster, and it's not good.
That's
and they
the
got
problem.
A lot of holes. So, how even if Cam Ward is good, how much can he cover up for?
That's the biggest
issue. With what else is out there?
The quarterback should be an upgrade, given even though Cam Ward is a rookie. I mean, it can't. I mean, we've said this before about positions on the Titans, but it can't be worse than last year, the quarterback play. Yeah. So, even as Cam Ward as a rookie. So, you would think some of the turnovers would be cut down a little bit. Maybe we went through this. If you had Cam Ward instead of Levis last year, how many more wins do you have? A couple. So, that already puts you at 5-6.
Yeah.
But the roster is still not in a good position. And the stuff around Cam Ward is kind of what's holding the team back almost more so than the quarterback at this point. Maybe not. And once he gets on the field, maybe it'll end up being a complete disaster. But based on last year, it doesn't feel like it'll be as bad. It's just what around them is going to be enough to help elevate. I don't know.
Well, like, can you navigate through the schedule and not just get totally beaten down with the way it could go? Like, we talked about this. The one thing that is interesting about the schedule release that we all freak out about, like, we all know who they're playing. Sometimes it's about when you're playing teams rather than who you're playing. And you get to the end of it. I mean, you got Jacksonville twice. You got Cleveland. You got New Orleans. Those are your last 6 games, right? Like, those are some winnable games
for
your
sure.
last 6.
Yeah.
Problem is, like, on paper right now, and I understand that the NFL schedule often doesn't play out the way we think it will on paper. But on paper, like, you could be taking some lumps to get to that point. Like, the Titans may not have very many wins by the time the calendar flips to December.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the end stretch doesn't look, you know, it's not the hardest stretch ever. You know, you get some home games in there. There's that one good stretch there where November 2nd, bye week, November 16th, November 23rd, and November 30th are all at home.
At home for over a month.
So
yeah.
You go five straight weeks without having to go travel for a road game. Maybe you can make up a little bit of ground there, you know? But, yeah, in the NFL, it's so tricky when you look at the schedule, and one injury can just really transform your schedule. Like, you know, what happens at the end of the season or towards the end of the season and Mahomes misses the Kansas City game, right? What does that do for the schedule at the end? And all of a sudden, it, you know, opens up way more than you thought. So,
yeah. And then, you know, also, you know, I think there's probably going to be an adjustment period for Ward and Ridley, just because that's what Ridley's done the last couple of years, right?
That's like true.
It took him a while to get going.
Slow start, yeah, last
Lawrence,
year.
And it took him a long time to get going with Rudolph and Levis last year. Now, maybe that was more to do with Levis and Rudolph than him. But what would be great is, like, the first game, you come out there, regardless if you win or not, because I'm more with Corey, like, I'm more concerned early, especially with the way that they're playing. You know, they got destroyed a lot last year. So let's try to avoid that. And then you can start worrying about the wins and losses after that. But if they come out and, like, immediately Ward and Ridley look good together, like, to me, that's a really good sign for
no doubt
getting things moving along maybe a little quicker than we think earlier in the year.
I do wonder how Ridley and Ward will mesh, you know, how that will go. I assume it'll go okay. Yeah,
they need it to go well.
I mean, they're, you know, because he's really their only big outside playmaker right now, Ridley.
I mean, he's kind of... And to me, he's their only passing game threat right now. Like you're hoping
big threat,
the two rookies will grow into that.
But you can't count on
and
that.
And you're hoping that maybe Helm at tight end grows into that. But like just in terms of proven commodity, like Lockett was that. Lockett at this stage of his career probably isn't anymore. Like you're talking about a guy last year that had 49 catches, 600 yards, two touchdowns. So like Ridley is the one guy that you look at right now and there's a threat out there. And even him, I've said it, I think he's probably a really good number two in the league rather than an actual number one guy.
Yeah, Ridley is more of a number two. His, you know, best seasons kind of, I think, were as the number two to Julio.
Yeah.
When it was, you know, when he was able to, Julio was able to take some of that coverage away from him. But, yeah, I don't know if Ridley's going to be able to ever put up those wide receiver one numbers that they had kind of signed him for.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on our question of the day. Coming up next, which team will have the best season relative to expectations? Titans, Vols, and Vandy. We'll do that. We'll wrap up the show. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The distinguished gentleman on YouTube is Matt Ian. Says Tennessee has 7 wins at best on their schedule is what he says. So I was like, all right, let's go through this. Tennessee has Syracuse, East Tennessee State, UAB, Mississippi State. They've got Kentucky. They got Vanderbilt. They got New Mexico State. Those are 7 right there. They will be heavily favored in all of those.
Yep.
Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win all of those, but they'll be heavily favored in all of those. So 7 being best case, I think, is ridiculous. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win 9. Like I said, if they win 9 games, I think it's a pretty good year for Heupel, given the circumstances and what happened at quarterback. But the idea that like 7 games is best case scenario for this team, I just think is not living in reality. And that doesn't even factor in Arkansas at home, which is probably a toss-up. Oklahoma at home, which is probably a toss-up. And then you've got, I mean, your 3 really, really challenging games. Georgia, I would not give them much of a chance to win, although it is at home earlier in the year. But, I mean, until I see them beat Georgia at this point, I mean, I think you've just got to assume that's going to be a loss. Alabama on the road is going to be very difficult. So, I mean, Alabama's got questions of their own, but that's going to be a difficult game. And then on the road at Florida, and I said this, like, until I see them win in the swamp, I'm just going to assume they're not because they haven't done it
hard to pick
since 03. So you've got 3 really, really tough games if you're Tennessee. You have 7 that you're going to be heavily favored in, and you got a few more that are probably toss-ups along the way. So, like, the idea that they can't get to 9 wins this year, I don't think is living in reality. They absolutely can.
Oh,
that doesn't mean they will.
Yeah.
Now, I think they got to 6. Like, if they're 6-6 based on this schedule, I still think that's incredibly disappointing, even with the quarterback situation being what it is, with the roster that they have.
Like, is there a number in particular that stands out to you that would be really disappointing? Is six the number? Is anything below?
I think seven's the number.
Seven.
Like, I think six is definitely disappointing. Seven, like, depending on how it went, like, you know, somebody get hurt along the way. I mean, you could factor a lot of those things in.
Yeah.
But, like, assuming everybody's healthy, like I said, they're going to be a significant favorite in seven of them. And then we'll see about the Arkansas and the Oklahomas of the world. Like, I think that if I had to pick right now what they're going to be, I would say they're probably an 8-4 team. Which,
who would get the most blame for a bad season? Is it Heupel or is it going right to Nico?
I think it'll start at Nico. And I think depending on how, like, the way they, like, are they competitive against Georgia? Are they competitive against Alabama? Do they go down the swamp and just get annihilated?
Yeah.
Because then I think it'll start to shift to Heupel at that point. You know, I remember, and I said it the day after Nico left, right? Like, everybody's all in on Heupel right now because he stood up to their guy. He stood up to Nico, and that's our guy, that's our coach, and that's great in April. It doesn't really play the same way in November, right? So I think there's pressure there. Like, if they go 8-4, that's not a disastrous year, but you're also not competing for the college football playoff at 8-4. Like, you're not getting a college football playoff.
Definitely not.
At 8-4. So I'm with you. Like, the expectation with the college football expansion, like, everybody thinks they're going to make the playoff every year now.
Yeah.
And Tennessee's not. Like, they're not going to make the playoff every year. But when you look at the way it's gone, like, you were supposed to be building to, like, this was supposed to be the year that Nico kind of came in and
next
really
level.
Took over to the next level. And now, obviously, he's not there. So how much of a wrench does that throw into everything?
I can assure you that the gap is closing.
My guy.
Hey, maybe. Jeremy Pruitt, the ghost of Jeremy Pruitt is alive and well.
Yeah.
And the gap is closing.
Yeah.
So maybe. I don't know. Is there a situation this year, if it all goes to heck in a handbasket for Heupel, about any type of, like, going into next season with the fans mad and hot seat and stuff
like
that?
If it's bad this year, you would need – I don't think he's going to get fired this year if they're like 6-6.
No.
But let's say they went 6-6. I think he'd probably be on the hot seat the next year.
You think
for sure.
So?
Yeah. Like, I think that's how it would go in this league. And I don't know if that's fair or if that's unfair, but I know this place. I know the fan base. Like, that's that they would he'd definitely be – I mean, look, if they go 6-6, he'll be on the hot seat with some of the fan base by, like, mid-October this year. So there's that too. Cameron says – I don't know, man. I have little faith in Aguilar. I don't think he's trash. I just think he's just a guy, and there are no receivers, and the starting running back is a walk-on. 8-4 is best-case scenario, period. With Nico, we were going 9-3. Again, there are seven games where they're going to be probably close to double-digit favorites in it. So I don't know how you could say eight wins is best-case scenario when they're going to be a two-touchdown favorite in probably seven of their games, right? Like, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to go in the college football playoff, but I think you got to look at the schedule and the way that the schedule breaks down. Like, they've got a, in terms of an SEC schedule, Tennessee's got a fairly decent one.
Oh, yeah. Year. You get Mississippi State on there, and I guess, well, I don't know. There's not as many cross rivals anymore in the whole East-West whole situation with the schedule given the additions.
Like, how good is Oklahoma? I have no idea. Oklahoma was bad last year. Are they going to be, is Brent Venables going to figure it out this year?
I mean,
and they're going to be really good?
Tennessee won at Oklahoma last year.
Right.
So they're home this year against them. So I would assume it would go about the same.
Like, I think Kentucky might be pretty bad this year. Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt, I don't think is going to be bad, but Tennessee is going to be favored against Vanderbilt.
And it's in Knoxville.
It's in Knoxville. Yeah. They're going to be favored. They're going to be favored against Mississippi State. Their non-conference schedule is not that tough. Like, Syracuse is an interesting game, but I mean, I could pull it up right now. I would guess Tennessee, even with the loss of Nico, is probably a double-digit favorite against Syracuse right now. I mean, I will pull it up.
Yeah,
we speak.
Yeah, I would think so. And then the next week, you get your cupcake game. No offense to ETSU, but
Tennessee at the moment is a 12.5 point favorite against Syracuse.
Yeah, is that a home game or is that a neutral
game?
It's
a neutral site. So it's down in Atlanta.
Okay.
So I mean, there're going to be a lot of Tennessee fans there.
Yep.
But again, like, I think people see the loss of the quarterback and they say, "Well, they're going to be bad."
Orange versus the orange.
But, like, you got to look at the schedule. Like, the schedule it sets up semi-nicely.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy schedule if you just look through it. Yeah.
So we'll see what that ultimately means. I do think, like, Tennessee, it will be the hardest for them to do what our question is today, and is to exceed right? Like, yeah. it'll be hardest for Tennessee
to probably exceed those
expectations. We'll see. Like, Vanderbilt's going to be really interesting. You know, they've got that road gauntlet we talked about, but can you
Bobby's going to have some expectations for him going into this next year, given his whole NIL situation.
Like, can you win? Like, the underrated part of last year, like, it probably evened itself out at the end because you beat Alabama.
Yeah.
But they did lose to Georgia State last year, which is still probably the most inexplicable, one of the most inexplicable losses of the whole college football season was Vanderbilt losing to Georgia State. So we'll see if you can avoid that this year. But like, if Vanderbilt found a way to get back to six wins this year, that'd be pretty darn good. So we'll see what happens on that front. Best of luck to Rex Road as he is, I think, at the urgent care right now. We'll get an update.
See if he makes his flight at 1 o'clock to New York
morning. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.